One is the Svarim, and the second is his Talmidim. Those Talmidim that already are learned in Rabbeinu Zal's Svarim and have drawn from Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim from generation to generation, any person wanting to come close to Rabbeinu Zal today, it's understood that by using these two tools, that's what could ensure a person coming as close to Rabbeinu Zal as they possibly can. A person observing the Talmidim of Rabbeinu Zal and seeing those chapters in Likutei Moran that they reference most, that they talk about most, number one in the Sifrei Likutei Halachos and the other Sforim, or more so, even more so, in dealing with Rabbeinu Zal's Talmidim that are alive today, those that are to be respected, those that are the leaders of the world, and watching the things that they discuss most, a person gets a feeling for what's considered most important. In every Sefer, it's understood that every word is important, but there are certain things that are kelel other things, or there are certain parts that are most important, most significant, without which the whole thing can't operate. And the next two or three Torahs in the Likutei Moran that we're going to be learning are extremely from Torah Yud that we're going to learn now, Torah Yud, Torah Yud Beis specifically, that we're going to be doing, are certainly in that category of cornerstones within Breslov HaChassidus, that any person who wants to become attached to Rabbeinu Zal has to understand these things very well and practice them even better. Rabbeinu Zal begins, Ma Sheho'ilam Rechoike Me'ashem Yisporach Ve'ino Miskarv Me'ilov Yisporach. This that the Welt, people in general, the majority, are far from Hashem, and they're not zeichet to come close to Hashem, Hurak Machmas She'ein Lohem Yishuv Hadas, is only because they don't have Yishuv Hadas, they don't give themselves a chance to think things over clearly, Ve'eino Miyashvim Atzmon, and they don't think, they don't look inside of themselves on a constant basis and think deeply about their life, about their future, about what they're doing in this world. V'ho ikor, and the main thing is, Rabbeinu Zal says, lehishtadel liyashiv atzmoy heitev, for a person to put every effort possible into doing this very, very well, into studying himself and studying life very, very well. Ma hatachlis mikol hataivos umikol inyonei ha'olam hazeh, for the person to review in his own mind what's going to be the culmination, what's going to result from all the taivos of this world and from all the effort, all the nonsense that we busy ourselves with in this world, be it our efforts in parnosa, our careers, our meals, our sleep, our clothing, all the different things that we exert a lot of time and effort and money into dealing with, what's going to be the tachlis, what's going to result from it? Hein taivois hanichnosos laguf. This applies both to taivois that go inside of the body, hein taivois shechutz laguf, and this also meaning inside the body means taivas achilo, taivas sheno, let's say rest, which supposedly is to rest the body, and taivas miuf rachmona litzlan, things that apply to the physical organs of the body, and also those taivas that are exterior to the body, kegoin kovoid, such as the desire for kovoid, for honor. Va'azai bevadai yoshuv el Hashem. And if a person is zeichet to do this, he will certainly, positively, be zeichet to return to Hashem. Now, a person just stopping here and looking at this paragraph and seeing the way this is worded, you can't ask for anything clearer. In other words, if a person has any iota of respect for Rabbi Nachman ben Feiga, for Rabbeinu Zal, and for all that's written about this person in so many different sforim, in encyclopedias, the whole world has heard about this individual, and whether people agree with him or disagree, they say that this person was an outstanding individual. This super outstanding individual says here that, in other words, he's willing to give one reason alone. You would picture, if you want to discuss why people are far from Hashem, that could be something that you could discuss for years and years. Not necessarily. Rabbeinu Zal says, I'll mention one thing which will make the whole difference between whether a person is close to Hashem or not, or whether the person is in a position to come close to Hashem or not. Note, Rabbeinu Zal never wastes words. Rabbeinu Zal doesn't say Mashaholam Rechoikim period, or Mashaholam Eino Miskarvim period. There's two categories that we're dealing here. We're dealing with a person who's far from Hashem, That could involve a lot of people. That could involve a person who never knew about religion, who never knew anything about Yahadus whatsoever. Mash ve'eno miskar v'meilov, again, could be, or this rochay could be talking about one who was koroiv and was nisrachek, a person who was religious for a certain part of his life, and then he became far from Hashem. So there's a concept of a person being far from Hashem, that's problem number one. Problem number two is ve'eno miskar v'meilov. To be far from Hashem is halbatzara, because it's conceivable to correct it. No matter how far you are, if you start moving in the direction of Hashem, trying to get closer to Hashem, there's a potential to fix it. But Rabbi Nizal says this, that people are far and are not tzlecha to come close, is only for one reason, because a person doesn't stop to really, really think. And even people that do this, you have people, let's say, who know about Rabbi Nizal, they know about Breslov, and you take a look at them and you see they're still very far from Hashem. With their davening, with their learning, they're still very, very far from Hashem. And what's the answer? Rabbi Nizal says the answer is that this person doesn't take out time to really, really take an honest look inside of himself. What is he doing? Why is he doing it? What's going to result from all that he's doing? All the important things, all the things that make a difference to this person in life, be it his meals, be it other taivos, be it his kavod, these items that are most important to him in life, without which he thinks he can't live or he can't exist, and these are the things that drive the person crazy, how purposeful is it? How much is it really going to help the person in the end, all the effort they're putting into for these things? Rabbi Nizal says, ach da, you should know, however, she'al yidei morash chayro i'efsher lahanig es hamoyach kertsoinoi. We're talking here about Yishuv Hadas, which involves using the brain in a positive way. Rabbi Nizal says you should know that there is one item that could present a tremendous obstacle to a person having control over his brain. And this item is called Morash Chayra, depression, sadness, Rachmon al-Islam, V'alkein Kosheloi Liashev Datoi. And it's because a person suffers from this item called Morash Chayra, sadness, depressed state of mind, this is what makes it difficult for a person to be able to have this Yishuv Hadas, which is at times used synonymously with his Hispoidedus. If you look in the first story in Sipurei Maaseiyos, it says there that before the Sheni Lamelech made any move, each time he was about to make a move, it says, Uner Hotzech Miyashiv Given, he thought it over and then he made his move. And the Tzadikim, when they learn this story in Sipurei Maaseiyos, when they tell it over, they always say that this inyan of Yishuv Hadas refers to Hispoidedus. In other words, the word Hispoidedus means to be alone, in thought and in speech. It's a combination. Just thinking of one's tachlis alone isn't enough. It has to be a combination of machshava and dibur, because the Zohar HaKadosh says you should know that there never occurs a maisa in this world without having machshava and dibur preceding it. So if a person wants his maisim to be toivim, if a person wants to improve the quality of his deeds and what he's doing in this world, the first thing he has to do to be able to rectify it is see to it to have machshavos toivos and diburim toivim. He has to have this hispoidedus, he has to think things over and bring his brain into focus, get his head to admit that he wants to be good, he wants to serve Hashem, he wants to come close to Hashem. Then, once his head is on right, he has to express this in Dibur, he has to say this to Hashem, he has to speak to the different organs of his body and instruct them as to what he wants out of them, what he wants them to do, and to yell at them, to reprimand them for what they're doing wrong, all of these things. And then, and only then, can a person hope to be zeichet to maisim toivim. Rabbi Nizal says, "Rak al yedei simcha yuchal lahanig hamoyach kiritzaynoi v'yuchal liyashev da'atoi." It's only when a person is in a state of simcha, that's when the person will be able to control his brain, to lead it on whatever path he wants it to go, v'yuchal liyashev da'atoi, and he'll be zeichet, he'll be able to have this yishuv hadas, this type of deep, deep thinking, which leads a person to an emes, which leads a person to come close to Hashem. Ki simcha hi olam hacherus, because simcha in the Sifrei Kabbalah, the word simcha many times is referred to as olam hacherus. It's associated with a concept of freedom. Avodim, unknown, Rabbi Nezal said that the Iker Neshichas Hanochosh, he Atzvus V'Atzlus, that you should know that there are two things that are that represent the main bite of the snake, the main bite of the Satan, and those are Atzvus and Atzlus. Sadness, depression is one, and laziness is another. So we know that these two things are usually partners. They go together. Sadness leads a person to laziness. Sluggishness leads a person into a depression. So these two go together. The Gemara says that there were different amounts, different measures of laziness that came down to the world. The Gemara says the majority were taken over by avodim, slaves. They, by nature, have this laziness in them. It comes in their nature, and in order to get them to produce in any way, a person has to force them to reverse their nature. So eved, a slave, is a bechin of atzlus, is a bechin of atzvus. Be'itzavo in toichalno, the curse of sadness and depression that was given to Adam and Chava at the time of Eitz Hadas refers to Parnosa, the 6 days of the week when a person is working, he's committed to working, he's enslaved. Whereas Shabbos Kodesh, which is the Bechin of Cheirus, freedom, where we're free from this bondage that we experience during the 6 days of the week, we're free from the work. We go out of this category called Eved, slave, which is the 6 days of the week we're in a state of Avoida. On Shabbos, we leave this Avoida, this Shisho, this Uvdin Dechoyel, the work of the weekdays. We go into an Olam HaCheirus. We enter into a world of freedom, where we're free from this Shibud, this yoke of Be'itzavoin Teichalna, the depression, the laziness, the Atzlus that takes over during the week. So Rabbi Nezal says, Ki simcha hi olam hacheirus. Another name for simcha is this world of freedom. Now note, in Kabbalah, this olam hacheirus refers to which sphera? Bina. Bina is called olam hacheirus because Bina, the number 50 refers to Bina, the 50 levels of Bina, and 50 is Yovel. Yovel is the 50th year when all slaves go free, scot-free. The Zohar HaKadosh says that the word Yovlo, the Aramaic word for Yovel, Yovlo with the Kolel is Bigamatria 50, that this represents the 50th year, which is a year of freedom, which corresponds to Bina, the Nun Shari Bina, the 50 levels of Bina. Bina is represented by the heart, Lev Maven. There are many psukim in the Torah that say that the heart represents Bina. The heart is also the main center for simcha. The pasuk says, "Nosato simcha belibi," that the mokar of simcha in a person is the heart. So we see that the heart is bina, the heart is simcha. Bina is freedom. Bina is the 50 levels of bina correspond to this 50th year when all slaves go free. So this whole concept of olam hacheirus is a concept of simcha. Rabbi Nezal says, "Bebechinas," as the pasuk says, "Ki besimcha teitzeyu." With simcha, you exit. Simcha helps a person exit. Exit from what? Exit from the pit. From the pit of atzlus. From the pit of atzvus. From those items, simcha helps a person go out. When does a person go out? Yovel, this 50th level, this olam hacheirus. Shaydei simcha nasim ben chayrin v'yotzim anagolus. It's through simcha that a person is zeicha to become free and to go out of golus. V'alkein, now note, when the Yitim were in Mitzrayim, what took them out of golus? Das. Moshe Rabbeinu was the one who took them out of golus. Moshe Rabbeinu is the one about whom it's written, Ato horei solo das, ki Hashem hu leikim. Moshe Rabbeinu was the Bechin of Das. Rabbeinu Zal says that's why he was in a position to take the Yitna out of Golus. Why? Because what is Golus? Lochein golo ami mibli das. Golus is a state of lack of Das. When a person is in exile, the exile is brought about through a Moichin de Katnus. That's the most obvious example of Golus. When a person is in a constricted frame of mind, that's when he's in exile. That's when he's tied up. He's constricted. He's imprisoned. He's enslaved. Whereas when a person is Zoichet HaMoichin de Gadlus, Simcha, that's this going out of Golus. That's this Bechina of a Tikkun HaDas. It's the one who's Zoichet to have this Das B'Shlemus. He's the one who has the simcha b'shleimus, because we mentioned from the Arizal that the word b'simcha, if there was Hashem b'simcha, the word b'simcha is oisiyos machshava. So that a person who has this feeling of simcha b'shleimus, it's understood that his mayach is b'shleimus, his seichel is b'shleimus, his das is b'shleimus. Therefore, he represents the opposite of golus, the opposite of exile. And therefore, when a person is zeichet to bind the simcha to his brain, where the simcha is not outside of his head, but he brings the simcha inside of his head, then his brain and his intellect is considered to be free, and it's not in a category of exile. Then, and only then, will this person be zeicha to be able to control his mind, to put his mind in whatever direction he wants it to go, uliyashev da'atoi, and to be zeicha to this yishuv hadas. Why? Me'achar shem meichoi b'cheirus ve'enoi b'golus. Once he has taken his brain and put it in a state of cheirus, freedom, he's freed it, he's removed the bondage, it's no longer tied up, it's no longer committed in any opposite direction. Once he's loosened the bonds, now he's able to take this brain and maneuver it any way he wants, put it in a direction, in a constructive direction, to bring him closer to Hashem. Rabbein Azal says, Ki al yedei golus ein hadas miyushov. Because we know that through golus, exile is something that prevents a person from having yishuv hadas, from being able to think very clearly. How do we know this? As the Gemara tells us in Megillah, the Gemara says that when Ahasuerus had the whole incident with Vashti, when Vashti showed him up, he invited her to come, she refused to come. Vashti asked his advisors for an etzah. He asked them for advice. Who were the first ones whom he turned to? Ahasuerus asked his advisors for an etzah. Who were the first ones whom he turned to for advice? The Yidden, naturally, the Talmidei Chachamim. He told them, what do you suggest I do to Vashti now, because she did this to me? So the Gemara says they were in a dilemma. They knew that this was a paradoxical situation. Should they tell him to kill her, because he's mad now, they see he's boiling mad and he's looking for vengeance, should they tell him to kill her, that might satisfy the immediate need, his anger, but then when he comes out of this drunken stupor, he could get real mad, he could change his mind, he'll want her, and it's because of them that she was killed, he could take it out on them. Should they tell him not to harm her in any way? He's boiling mad now. He's drunk. He's looking for vengeance. Could be his anger will show itself on them. Instead of spilling out his anger on her, he'll spill it out on them, and they'll all be killed. So they didn't know what to do. So what did they do? They did the smartest thing possible. They shut, not down. They did the opposite of shutting down. They kept quiet. They said to him, we're very, very sorry. In other words, it's embarrassing to say, I don't know. But the Gemara says, La'olam, a person should always train his tongue to be able to say, I don't know. Because there are times when it's very, very important to be able to have that power, to have that gift, to be able to say, I don't know. And if you don't have it, you could get yourself in a lot of trouble. They said to Ahasuerus, we're very sorry, you can't really ask us to provide an answer. We suggest that you ask the Bnei Amoinu Moyov who are here. Why? The Gemara says, because they said, Al Bnei Amoinu Moyov, they told him about the Bnei Amoinu Moyov, Demiyas Vedatayu. They're ones whose seichel is settled. They have a very settled wisdom. Why? Machma Shalei Holchu Bagolus. Because they were never exiled. The Bnei Amoinu Moyov were never chased out of their land. We, the Jews, by nature, are a people of exile. We've been thrown from one country to the next. We're on the move always. Shenemar, and they prove this to him from a pasuk. There's a pasuk in Yirmiyahu Anavi that says, Shanan Moyov Mina Urov. Moyov is very calm and settled from their youth. Why? Because Ubagoilo Loi Holach. Because they never went into exile. Alkein Omad Ta Moiboy. Therefore, they were able to retain their taste. they were able to retain their intellect. Why? Because when a person is on the move, his mind is unsettled. He's not able to think clearly as much as a person who's settled into a place. So we see from here that this concept of golus, exile, where a person is not in his own place, that leads a person, that prevents a person from having yishuv hadas. So that when a person is zeicha to be free from golus, to take himself out of golus, which is depression, atzvus is a form of golus, when he's zeicha to pull himself out of that into simcha, which is olam hacherus, that represents freedom from golus, that's when the Eitzah is bishleimus. That's when the whole power of Eitzah is bishleimus, and that's when a person is zeicha to be able to have this type of yishuv hadas. So that here again, Rabbeinu Zal is giving a hasra, a warning to his Talmidim. You're coming to me, you want to be breslov because you want to be religious, you want to come close to Hashem. I want you to know that the most necessary item that's needed within Breslov HaChassidus, within the teachings of Rabbeinu Zal, to be zeicha, to be able to come close to Hashem, is Yishuv Hadas, Hispoidedus, this item called Hispoidedus, which is another word for Yishuv Hadas. Rabbeinu Zal says, you should know that Hispoidedus Himayla Elyoina Ugedoila Min HaKoil. This is the highest form of Avodas Hashem in existence. There's nothing higher than this within the realm of religion. But it's impossible to be zeicha to do this properly unless you're in simcha. Now imagine how important it is for a yid to be in simcha. How much a person has to work on this and train himself and study, look through svarim to find etzos, to find advice as to how to be zeicha to be able to maintain this simcha on a daily basis. Because the yishuv hadas has to take place daily. Rabbeinu Zal says if a person skips a day, the Bir Likutim Zal, who was the son of Rav Nachman Tulchina Zal, the Talmud Muvok of Rav Nosson Zal, once said that every day of a person's life that he lets go by without an hour of his spoidedus, it's as though he learned a shir in the Sefer Moran Avuchim Rachmon Alitzlan, in Mem Nun, in philosophy. In other words, this is the Visartem Vavadatem Elokim Acherim. If you turn away from Hashem, if you turn away from the most necessary, the most mandatory form of Avodas Hashem, automatically it constitutes idol worship, a form of idol worship. So that if a person, chas v'shalom, lets a day go by without speaking to Hashem, without having this yishuv hadas, it means that day, rachmona l'tzlan, he participated in idol worship to a degree. Rabbeinu Zal says the key to being zeicha to do this is simcha. Person must be zeicha to simcha, and you'll note that our sforim are molei etzais. A person doesn't have to go looking in the library or anything. We have alikutei maran, alikutei halochais, alikutei etzais, which collects all the different places in the likutei maran and in the likutei halochais that it discusses how a person could be zeicha to simcha. Now, Rabbeinu Zal is going to do us a favor, and right on the spot, he's going to discuss again the most outstanding example of an etzah of advice as to how a person could be zeicha to simcha. Rabbeinu Zal says now, v'lovoy l'simcha, and if a Jew wants to be zeicha, to get to simcha, hu al yidei ma shem moitze bi'atzmoy eizah nekuda toivo al kolponin. The key to being zeicha to simcha under any circumstances, within any kind of situation, is to be capable of finding a good point in oneself, I'll call upon him, no matter what the situation is, no matter what your matzav is, no matter what difficulty you're going through in parnosa, in health, in ruchnius, in being a rasha, you must be able to find in yourself nekudas tayvos. Otherwise, you won't be zeicha to simcha. Because Rabbeinu Zal says here, v'lovoy l'simcha, hu'al yidei ma shemoytzi b'atzma yizu nekuda toiva. Kimavur al pi azamra elekai b'yodi, as is explained in chapter 282 in Likutei Moran, Chelek Aleph, the Torah that's called azamra elekai b'yodi, ayin sham. Look over there. Rabbeinu Zal there elaborates very, very much in training a person as to how to be zeicha to fulfill the seitzah of being able to find good in himself under any circumstances, in any situation. V'al kol ponim, and Rabbeinu Zal says, no matter what you want to tell me, no matter how bad you see yourself, Yeshloi l'smoyach, a Jew is able to bring himself into a frame, into a happy frame of mind. The one fact alone that he was zeichet to be created a Jew, that alone should be enough to be misameach a person. Sheloi osani goy, the fact that Hashem did not make me a goy. I could have been born a goy, I could have been born a Jew. Hashem selected me to be chosen to be a member of the Am Yisrael, the Am Nivchor, the Bnei Bechor Yisrael. That alone should be enough of an excuse to be able to pull a person out of any atzvus, any marishchera, and to bring him to a frame of mind of simcha. And as we say in the davening every day, blessed is Hashem who created us for His kavod. Us, the Jewish nation, He created for His kavod. And it's to us, the Am Yisrael, we were the ones who were finally successful in receiving the Torah from Hashem. He offered it to all the other nations. All of them refused it. The one nation that was zeicher to receive the Torah is the Am Yisrael. Even if I don't keep the Torah, chas v'shalom, even if I'm not religious, no matter how bad I am, I have to be extremely, extremely happy with the simple fact that I was chosen to be a member of this nation, which means there's always a potential for tshuva, a potential to come close to Hashem. From all of this, and from similar thoughts to this, It's only right that a person should be able to draw up onto himself simcha l'sameach da'atay kanal, to bring his head into a happy frame of mind. V'zeh b'chinas b'dicho da'atay. This is the concept of a term that's used in the Gemara many times, where it talks about tanoim, that at one point in time they got very happy, but note, we said, the Pasuk says in Tehillim, Nosato Simcha Balibi, that happiness generally is something that's related to the heart. The wording in the Gemara is Bedicho Date, that his brain, his das, got a simcha. There was a simcha in his head. Shehu Dovor Godoil, which is a very, very great thing. Dahainu Shemekasher HaSimcha L'Moichoi V'Datoi. In other words, there's a tremendous significance to taking simcha. It's not enough to be happy. There's a concept of being happy, and there's a concept of drawing the simcha into one's head, bringing it inside of the head, and causing a harchovas hadas, an expansion of the mind. Rabbein Azal says, "Va'azai," and then hamoyach meshuchror, the brain becomes freed. Originally, when a person isn't happy, his brain is enslaved. It's in a bechin of golus. When he's zeichet to simcha, he takes the brain out of golus. V'yesh lo yishuv hadas, and he's zeichet yishuv hadas. Kanal, as we said before. V'gam lemalo nasa mize yichud godoil al yedei b'dichodate. And you should know, Rabbein Azal says, that in heaven also, it's not just on earth, but bashamayim, whenever a Jew is zeichet to bring himself into this happy frame of mind, this is able to generate a fantastic yichud lemalo. Now note, Baruch Hashem, this is a chapter in Likutei Moran. Let's take one tiny, tiny, tiny chiddush from the Arizal and show the connection between the Chochmas HaKabbalah, the Chochmas HaEmes of the Arizal, and the Musar of the Baal Shem Tov HaKodosh, the Talmidei Baal Shem, Rabbein Azal, all the Chassidish Sforim, how well these two are tied in. The Arizal says that you should know that Golus, Rachmono Litzlan, is a Bechina, is a very low level. Golus means to be down. Ge'ula, taken out of Golus, generally means to go up. The most outstanding example of this is the first and all-encompassing exile that the Jews experienced was in Mitzrayim. The Torah tells us that Mitzrayim is the lowest, one of the lowest countries on earth. Very, very low, below sea level, way below sea level. And we find that when the Torah talks about the Bnei Yaakov going to Mitzrayim, the wording that's used is Vayerdu, they went down to Mitzrayim. Whereas, when the Yidden was zeicha to leave Mitzrayim, to go to Eretz Yisrael, the Gemara says Eretz Yisrael is Govoya Mikol HaRotzois, Eretz Yisrael is the highest of all lands. Mitzrayim, the word Mitzrayim is Miloshen Meitzirim, Meitzar, a place of constriction, a place of constriction, tzimtzum, whereas Eretz Yisrael is the bechina of something that's lamalum and hamokoyim. We know that there's one tiny place in Eretz Yisrael, the Evan Shesia, the mokoyim mikdosh, where that place alone, the Gemara tells us that it was way above the concept of space. Oimdem tzifufim umishtachdem revochim. 600,000 Jews were able to pack into one backyard in Yerushalayim, and there was enough room for all of them to bow down to Hashem. Each one had 8 feet all around them to be able to move. So we see that Eretz Yisrael is the opposite of Mitzrayim. Mitzrayim is Meitzar, constriction, Golus. Eretz Yisrael is the place of Geula, redemption, this Harchovas Hadas. The Arizal says, you should know that Golus is a Bechina of Tzimtzum Hadas, where the brain is very constricted. In order for a person to be zeichet to geula, to be taken out of golus, he has to be able to bring his das to the highest level, to expand the brain as wide as it could go. What's the highest level conceivable that a person could bring his brain, his das? Keser. The crown, that's referred to as the highest level of kedusha that exists. The Arizal says, you'll note that the Hebrew word for redemption, for geula, which means to be taken out of golus, we make a bracha, Baruch Ato Hashem, Goal Yisrael. These three letters, Goal, Gimel, Aleph, Lamed, when we decode them using the code of Atbash, that's used many times in the Gemara, where we exchange the first letter of the Hebrew alphabet with the last letter, the second from the beginning with the second from the end, and so on and so forth. The word Goal in Atbash makes up the word Keser, exactly. Telling us, what does this teach us? That in order for a person, the whole concept of Geula is a concept of Simcha. How do we see Simcha? Because there's a pasuk in Chumash that says, V'simchas oilam al roisham, that they wore their happiness upon their head. Not in their head, V'simchas oilam al roisham. Simcha is represents a crown that's worn on the head. It's this crown, this simcha, this keser, that's the key to geula. The Hebrew word goal, which means to be redeemed, that word is oisiyos keser and atbash, to show us. You want to know what the key to geula is? The key to geula is keser, of which another word that's synonymous with keser is simcha. And here again, this applies to every single Jew, because this is the wording that's used in Sifrei Musar. When a person is steeped in taivos, when a person falls into the gashmias, that's what we started talking about, person pulling himself out of the taivos and in Yomei Olam Hazeh, that's considered being in an exile, being in a very low pit. In order to pull oneself out of the pit, the key is simcha. That's the most necessary item. And this is why the Arizal said that the reason why he was zeicha to the highest level was because of asiyas hamitzvahs besimcha. He was more perfect in doing mitzvahs besimcha than anybody in his generation. This is why he achieved the highest level of wisdom, meichen, because these two are synonymous. Besimcha, machshava, the whole key to the success of the brain is totally in how well a person is able to keep himself to maintain this simcha on a constant basis.
You mentioned earlier that no one got more slaves were given the greatest degree of atzlos and consequently atzlos also, and yet we're called upon to be avodin to Hashem. It would seem paradoxical.
There's a story in Sipurei Maaseis, the 11th story in Sipurei Maaseis, Maisami ben Melech uben Shivcha Shenechlefu, that whole story is the answer to your question. Just to say it in a word, Rav Nosenthal, in his explanation of this story, says that this is the biggest farce of all time. The fact that we refer to serving Hashem by the term Avodas Hashem, that's the biggest joke conceivable. In other words, how do we apply the term Avoda if there's nothing? In other words, would you apply the term Avoda to going to a wedding or to going to a person who loves baseball, where baseball is the most exciting thing in his life? Would you call that labor? He belabored to bring himself to the baseball game and to sit through it and to watch the whole baseball game from the front seats. He had the best seats in the stadium. Would you call that labor? The term labor is usually used to refer to that item which a person doesn't like, doesn't enjoy, but they have to do it because they can't live without it, that kind of thing. Rav Nosson says this is the biggest hypocrisy. The fact that Rahmanul Islam, we in this world are on such a low level, we've gotten our marbles so confused, so messed up, that we call eating and sleeping and drinking and jumping, and we call that fun and enjoyment, and we call serving Hashem avodas Hashem, when in truth it's just the opposite. This is the Maisami ben Melech u ben Shivcha shnechuchu. What is a ben Shivcha? An Eved. Rav Nosson says these two got flipped around. That which should be called avoda, we call that fun. And that which should be the happiest moments of our life, when we're zeicha to get up in the morning and go to shul, we're zeicha to do the mitzvah of Netilas Yadayim Shachris, we're zeicha to make a bracha, we're zeicha to do a mitzvah, that we call Avodas Hashem. That's the biggest perversion of the word. Although, if you look throughout Rabbeinu Zalzforim, Rav Moshe Zalzforim, they use that terminology simply because they're talking to people of this world. But in fact, Rabbeinu Zalzforim says, it's just the opposite. Chas v'sholem. Of course, avoda is eating custard pie. Avoda is sleeping. That's avoda. That's labor. That's difficult. It's insulting to apply the term labor to something which should be the most enjoyable ethereal thing in a person's life. And if, excuse me for a second, if you look at the Likutei Halachos on that story, here again, that's one of the cornerstones of Breslov HaChassidus, of Rabbeinu Zalzforim. That story in Sipurim Isis and the Likutei Halachos on it, that alone could set a person's whole life, could change a person, take a person from the bottom to the top in religion. Just getting to know that one story well, how well Rabbeinu Zalzforim presents the picture of these two opposite ends of the seesaw, and how befuddled our brains have become in this world, that we've confused the most likable things with the most despicable things. We've gotten so mixed up. And how a person learning Rabbeinu Zalzforim, he resets a person. It's not that he changes you, he puts things back in order. We're the ones who are the sickos, the abnormal ones. This frame of mind where we enjoy eating and we enjoy playing and we enjoy sitting around gabbing about nothing, that's a mentally ill person. A normal, a sane person is one whose enjoyment comes only when he's doing something constructive, something from which something will come out of it. And that's an oved Hashem. That's a person who's really serving Hashem properly. Ein ben chayrin elo mi she'oseik b'Torah. If you look in the wording in the Gemara, Ein ben chayrin, what's classified as a free person? One who is oseik b'Torah. And the Welt looks at this so much in reverse. The Welt thinks that the most subjugated people, the most meshubot people, are the religious people. They're the ones who are so restricted, confined, jail, they're imprisoned in religion. And they don't realize that the bars are on the other side. Sure, in the zoo, the animals think they're looking at the people behind bars. But really, it's just the opposite. They're the ones who are, they're the animals. Mibli das, behema, nimshilu ka behema isnidmu. It's the ones who have the less seichel, that's the one behind bars. To them, naturally, it looks like the ones on the outside are confined. He's got his whole cage and his straw there and his bathroom, all in that one little room. He's got his whole broad existence. And they don't realize that there's something above their little cages that they're living in, with their cars, with their food, with their nourishment, with their nonsense.
Mentioned that simcha is a key to his bedus, and also other times you said that leiv nishvar is key to his bedus. How does that relate to simcha?
Rabbeinu Zalzforim warns in Sichai Saran never to chas v'shalom confuse leiv nishvar with atzvus. They're on two opposite sides of the pendulum. A broken heart is not something that leads a person to depression, chas v'shalom. A broken heart is something that leads a person to speak to Hashem, through which he's zeicha to the highest degree of simcha. And Rabbeinu Zalzforim says the way to be able to tell whether you're experiencing a broken heart or depression is, you'll know that the termination of leiv nishbar is simcha. and the termination of Atzvus is not. Very simple. In other words, when a person is about to have his Spodidus, and before doing it, he tries to look inside of himself a little, and to see how low he's really holding at the current time, and this brings him to a low frame of mind, to an anova, to a humbleness, to a smallness, but not a depression, just that he feels so tiny that he's going to be talking to Hashem now. Here he thought he was getting ready to talk like a 30-year-old, like a person with a suit and a jacket and a family and all and a job and this and that. And he looks inside of himself and he begins to analyze what he did that day. And he sees that he couldn't rate himself above the level of a 2-year-old. That there are 2-year-olds who don't do as much damage to themselves in a day as I just did to myself today. All the stupid things I did to hurt myself, to earn myself different portions in Gehenna, Rachmon al-Etzlan, person begins to see how small he really is, and this leads him to this super, super anova, not chas v'shom ta'atzvus, but it should lead him to feeling very small, not small, nasty to Hashem, that he's going to complain, but a small that leads him to begging, pleading for mercy. He sees that he doesn't have a leg to stand on. He can't demand anything from Hashem. He can't request. He's embarrassed, he's made himself so smelly that Hashem has every excuse not to be willing to stand in his presence. Why would Hashem want to come to listen to what you have to say when there's such a bad odor coming from the person? And a person brings himself to that frame of mind, and then he starts talking to Hashem. The Pasuk says that this has tremendous charm by Hashem, and the result of this is always simcha. When a person finishes a hispidus like that, he sees, he comes out of it, his head feels so light, the term light, he feels a lightness in the brain and a lightness in his body that he's able to run, he feels like he wants to run 1 billion miles in one shot. That's Leiv Nishbor, not to be confused at all with the opposite side of the pendulum, which is the Avi Avos HaTuma, the worst, worst klipa conceivable, which is depression, which leads a person to an arrogance, Rachmon al-Islam, which leads him to have the chutzpah to speak to Hashem in a complaining way, Chas v'Shalom, and that kind of thing.
So a very quick question. You mentioned Eretz Yisrael is the highest land. How are we to view, say, what the scientists say as far as, say, Mount Everest and stuff like that being highest physically? Does that statement mean that Eretz Yisrael in fact is highest physically, or it's referred to in the spiritual?
I think it means even physically as far as sea level is concerned. In other words, I don't think it has to do with mountains or that kind of thing. I think it's as far as a country, this country is considered, you know, way up.
Person finds himself,
excuse me for interrupting, just a second. Incidentally, the next line of Gemara that we're going to have in Edorim, we're up to Daf Mem in Edorim, the next line that we're going to have discusses the fact that Eretz Yisrael is so high and Bavel is low, and that's why a person watching, observing the rivers in Bavel can tell how much rain there's been in Eretz Yisrael. Because the nature of Eretz Yisrael is so way up that when it rains a lot in Eretz Yisrael, the water runs down from Eretz Yisrael into the rivers of Bavel, and it's gathered there.
How does a person, so the person can't get to be Miyashiv, so he can't get to his Bodhidus unless he's in Simcha. The Simcha is the key, so how do you get there?
Through his Bodhidus.
It's a vicious cycle.
Exactly. It's a vicious cycle whereby a person can get on any point he wants. Now, some people would look at that as an excuse not to begin, because if I need this to get to this and I need this to get to that, then where do I start from? Rabbi Nizal says the answer is anywhere. If you start with sincerity, you can jump on the bandwagon at any place, and this Sefer will show you how any one point in religion leads into every other point. Rabbi Nizal describes the network of Judaism is described in this Sefer. All the intricate capillaries and arteries and veins and frumkeit are all described here, and how by jumping out at any one point, you can find your way to all the different avenues that exist within frumkeit and get to cover all of them. That's the key. And Rabbi Nizal Sforim are mole etzais on how to have his spiritus and how to have simcha. person just has to look and study. We have one fantastic Eitzah here. There's much, much more. Person has to just be willing to open his eyes, not to be lazy, not sit back and let Hashem give me simcha. You have to chase it. Oyev shalom, v'roidev shalom. You have to chase after shalom. You have to chase after simcha also. You have to chase after mitzvahs. This is what we say. The last words in closing the Shemoneh Esrei, v'achrei mitzvahsecho tiradoif nafshi. Let my nefesh chase after mitzvahs. Not that I should stand still and expect it to come to me. I should be willing to run after the mitzvah. That kind of thing.
Jump on at a point and say, look, Hashem, I don't want to complain, but where I am, please rescue me from my point.
100%. And if he does it with sincerity, he'll find himself go in one shot from the bottom of the bottom to the top of the top.
The base of Midrash would destroy a lot of the Harabayas up into the ground.
Possible that that's what caused it to go lower. Very possible.
Well, this is how you explain how the Eretz Yisrael is the main place in Tefillah, because, you know, the conscious person is in, you know, outside Eretz Yisrael, it's like, in a sense, God.
Right.
But if he's in Eretz Yisrael, he,
most definitely. In other words, this is part of the reason, if we say that the center, if we say that the key to Yishuv Hadas is Simcha, and if we say that the most popular place, the most good place in the world for Tefillah is Eretz Yisrael, as the Pasuk says, V'espalalu Eilecho Derech Artzon, that any Jew, even who doesn't live in Eretz Yisrael, has to gear his Tefillah in the direction of Eretz Yisrael. Why? Because Eretz Yisrael is the Mokor of Simcha. Why? What is Simcha? Simcha is the 10th level. It's this Machshavo, it's this Chochmah, it's this Yishuv Hadas. Eretz Yisrael is the place where the Mishnah says in Kalim that there are 10 levels of Kiddusha. There are Eser Kiddushos in Eretz Yisrael. That Eretz Yisrael itself is the holiest country, Yerushalayim is the holiest city, this is the holiest this. Those 10 levels of Kiddusha that exist in Eretz Yisrael correspond to the Asora Minei Negina, to the 10 types of song, which make up the whole Bechin of Simcha. So it's understood that that's the Mokar of Simcha, and the whole world, compared to Eretz Yisrael, is a Bechina of Atzvus. The whole, the outside of Eretz Yisrael is cursed. It had the Mabul here, the flood. Ki hishchis kol bosar darkei al oretz. This is a Mokim of Tuma, of curse, of depression, of sadness, compared to Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, when we daven Shemoneh Esrei and we face Eretz Yisrael, our purpose is to show that we're not being mekasher ourselves with the place that we're in now, otherwise we're going down. Our whole tshuka, our whole yearning is to bind ourselves with Eretz Yisrael, which is this generator of simcha for the whole world. Eretz Yisrael, sheset chilo, Eretz Yisrael is the center of shefa for the whole world, the center of simcha, unquestionably. That's why the Gemara says, note that any person who didn't see the Simchas Beis Vashieva that took place in the Beis HaMikdash never saw a Simcha in his life. Note, the Gemara describes, you want to know the happiest place on this earth? It was the Beis HaMikdash on the holiday of Sukkot, on the Zman Simchaseinu. Which day is Zman Simchaseinu? Rabbeinu Zal's Yortzeit. The Simchas Beis Vashieva took place on the second day of Chol HaMoed Sukkos, which is the day of the passing of Rabbeinu Zal. Why? Because Rabbeinu Zal is Rabbi Nachman ben Simcha. This is one of the Ikrim Shebe Ikrim of Breslov HaChassidus, that Rabbeinu Zal came to this world to teach, was the significance of Simcha. Not that he's not the first one who mentioned this. It's mentioned in Tehillim. It's mentioned in Chumash. The end of the Teichecha says, you want to know why all of these punishments are going to come? Tachas asher lo yavadetu Hashem, es Hashem laikecho, b'simcha. Not because you didn't serve Hashem. Serving Hashem is nothing. You have to serve, not that it's nothing. Serving Hashem without simcha is a serving Hashem that's lacking.
If that part, Rinazan's father is simcha, then what does the Teichecha part represent?
Other things. In other words, obviously other things. In the Sefer Koich Beor, there's one whole section called Sasayin V'Simcha, where it has loads of gematrioys that the Bir Likutim Zal, who was a tremendous tzaddik and Talmud Chacham, these aren't gematrioys that were figured out by calculator. These were secrets of Torah that he was able to come up with based on the names of the different versions of Rabbeinu Zal's name, attaching his name by the father's side, name by the mother's side, etc. Just to give one of the examples that's very pertinent to today, the next holiday that's coming up is the most important holiday of the year, Rosh Hashanah, which Rabbeinu Zal said that my day is Rosh Hashanah, the most important time to come to me is Rosh Hashanah. The Bir Likutei Zal brings there just an example of the spectacularness of the secrets of Torah of Rabbeinu Zal's name. If you take, now what is Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is Rosh. Rosh means the head, the brain, the seichel. This Rosh represents Chochmah and Bina. It comes from both sides, from Abba and Ima, from the father and the mother. Because Rosh Hashanah, we know, is a time of Din, which represents the female. The Nukva is Din. At the same time, Rosh Hashanah is a time when the Moyach is elevated, is Haitnu, which is the Bechin of Abba. The Bir Likutei Zal says, if we take Rabbeinu Zal's name, Rabbi Nachman ben Simcha, Rabbi Nachman ben Fega, both names are Begematria Rosh Hashanah exactly. Nachman ben Simcha, Nachman ben Fega is Bigamatria Rosh Hashanah exactly, showing that what is Rosh Hashanah? Rosh Hashanah is Rabbeinu Zal from both sides. As if you take him from his father and his mother, he is Kulay Rosh Hashanah.
Rabbeinu Zal, you mentioned the Eitz about using an Akuda Taiva to bring yourself a Simcha. Isn't it true that that's a Hischaskas? Can you live on this? Or let's say trying hard in other areas, like to learn or that kind of thing, just go along not trying to be better and just always be machayis.
Chas v'shalom. In other words, there's two situations that a person could be in. When a person is in a depressed frame of mind, when a person is sad, when a person is in golus, then this is the way that he's supposed to bring himself into simcha. When a person is down, you can't tell him to start doing things. He doesn't have the oomph. He's empty. He's on empty. He has no energy. You have to first be able to do something that'll pull him out of the pit, and then he can start doing. The Eitzah then is this Chizuk. This being able to find, in other words, you can't tell him first climb out and then I'll fix you, because he can't climb out. He needs something to pull him out. How can you pull him out? If you can prove to him that even in the pit that he's in, Hashem is to be found over there, that as bad as he thinks he is, there doesn't exist a potential by him to make himself bad enough to rid himself of any nekudat, of every nekudat toivah. There doesn't exist a Jew who can cut away Yisrael, afal pi shechota Yisrael hu. If a Jew shmads, he's still Yisrael. He can't destroy that pental yid, that nekuda toiva know-how. So when a person is super, super down, this is the eitzah of how to deal with him. When a person is not down, and he tries to do this, he tries to find happiness in one good point about himself, then he won't do anything. He won't learn, he won't daven, he won't run to do mitzvahs and everything. He'll stagnate, which will just lead him to go down, 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 Rachmon Otzlan. And this is the whole side of Moshe says in Kodei Lochiz, the Poraduma, which is Metaher Temeim and Metame Tehirim. The Poraduma represents this advice, where a person, this same advice given to one person could be the key to his success, and give this same piece of advice to another person, you could kill him. You get a person who's not sad, who's okay, and you tell him, listen, you have to be happy. Did you do one mitzvah today? Be happy. Dance a ricket, sing and dance. He'll start dancing, he won't do any more mitzvahs. And for him, that's not the Eitzah. For him, the Eitzah is to push him, to spice him up, to show him that you did one mitzvah, big deal. You know, there's 24 hours now, you're responsible for every second, to make every second count. And you have to get him to run and run and run. But to one who's in a one who's already in a golus, the only way to pull him out is through chizuk. Notice there's these two terms, hischaskus and hisayrus. If a person tries to give either one to the wrong party, he can kill him, Rachmon Alatzlan. Here Rabbeinu Zal is addressing that you should know through Marashchaira this, and the key is simcha. V'lovay l'simcha. Lovay l'simcha means that right now I'm not in simcha. I'm in the opposite of simcha. To get to simcha, I have to be able to do this. Once I am in simcha, then this could stifle me, this could destroy me. Once I am in simcha, you have to show me a mesach shemayim shemata. No matter how big you think you are, you haven't started yet. You haven't started to serve Hashem.
how do you keep from using the same thought not to get you down? Because it could also be that people say, I'm a Jew, so look how disloyal I am, you know, and look how unworthy I am, and that could even bring a person lower. So how do you use that to bring
the opening line of Torah Yud Beis on Likutei Moharan is going to answer your question. Just listen for a second. Rabbein Ezra begins chapter Yud Beis on Likutei Moharan Tanina with the words, if a person follows his own brain, his own wisdom, his own intellect, rabim, a person could fall into tremendous mistakes and pitfalls, and to come to tremendously terrible things. This is a perfect example of it. In other words, I'm going to give you an example of an Eitzah, which you can find 1,000 people in the world who can take this Eitzah and pervert it, and use that itself as an excuse to get down. How am I supposed to know how to use an Eitzah effectively? You have to go to the Tzaddikim. The Tzaddikim are the only ones whose brains are pure. They're in a position to know how to apply the intellect. By us, there's two problems by us in our brains. Number one, we have no intellect. We are all zero in the mind. We have no brains at all. And then once we start to get brains, when we finally crawl out of the filth and mud that we've been in for 20 or 30 years of our life, and we start getting brains, we get one piece of brain, two piece of brain, two out of infinitum, then at that point in time, our brain is certainly not ready to make decisions and to figure out things, certainly not ready to be in a position to figure out how to come close to Hashem, which is the deepest wisdom conceivable. You're going to say that a person who started was about tshuva, who did two mitzvahs, he's going to plot a route for himself how to come close to Hashem? What's more ridiculous and stupid and insane than that? That's really off the wall. The only Eitzah Rabbein Ezal says is that once a person realizes that he's in such a matzav, that his brain has been defiled already, because Rahmana Litzlan, there was a period in his life when he wasn't 100% pure tzaddik, his brain has become defiled, so that even any iota of intellect that he does have in him could be used against him. He himself could be firing shots against himself. He could figure out Eitzahs to bury himself. Once you realize that, that's when you realize that it's impossible for you at that point in time to use your brain at all. The only solution for you is to get rid of your brain, get a safe, put it in the safe, lock it up, and throw away the key, and just bind yourself, be mevatel yodas completely, to tzaddikim amitim, to those tzaddikim whose brains were never defiled, whose brains are kitikunam, whose brains are on the highest level, and allow them to plot a route for you. Allow them to define how to use, to tell you how to use your intellect. And don't play with them. If they tell you that this is an eitzah to come close to Hashem, don't go and tell them, well, I could figure out a way to use this to get depressed. You can. Throw it away. Write it down on a piece of paper and throw it away. Put it in the same safe where I told you to put your brains. Put it away until you're in a position to be able to say that your brain is 100% well, that you're totally, totally fixed. Then you're in a position to use your own mind. Until then, you have to be mevatel yodas to the das of the tzaddikim. What's a sample of the das of tzaddikim? This safer. Just look inside, and whatever simple Simon says to do, just do it exactly the way he says, and you'll see that you'll succeed. And if you try to do it differently, you play with your own life. You're putting your own life in jeopardy, Rahmanul Islam. We once said that this is one of the words, one of the sharp things that's said by the Sforim. We say about Hashem, Hashem is Melech Oizer Umoshia Umogain. What's Taich? Oizer means helps, Moshia means helps, Mogain means help. Why three words? The Meforshim bring that a person, human being, is capable of doing three things towards himself. He's capable sometimes of doing things that will benefit him. He's capable of doing things that'll benefit him a lot, let's say. He's capable of doing things that'll benefit him a little bit, but they won't hurt him. And he's capable of actually doing things that will hurt him. This is why when we daven to Hashem, we praise Hashem, that Hashem is in a position to deal with me in any mode that I'm in. Oyezer Ezra refers to a person who's okay, he's doing well, he just needs a little help, he just needs to be helped along a little bit. That's one of Hashem's functions. Hashem is Melech Oizer. If he finds a person who's doing well, but he just needs a little extra hint, Hashem is in a position to provide that. Mashiach, Yeshua, means a person who's desperate. He is drowning and he needs help. Hashem is in a position to give a Yeshua, to be able to provide, like let's say, to be able to provide 99% of the solution. Ezra means that I can solve 90% of the problem myself. I need 10% more. Hashem can fill in that 10%. Yeshua means that I can only provide 1% or 0%. And I'm asking Hashem to provide 99% or 100%. Mogain means to shield, to protect. The Mefarshim bring that one of the qualities of Hashem is that Hashem is in a position to protect me. From whom? From myself. From all the damage that I myself in a position to do. Look at Rabbeinu Zal's wordings. He's not talking here about a person who follows his legs, or a person who follows his hands. That's a dope, that's a mental care, that's Bellevue. We're talking about a person already who's following his seichel. That person, Rabbeinu Zal says, can mess himself up in such an incredible way, he can bury himself so far that it would take years to pull him out. The Eitzah is, as we're going to learn, that whole chapter in the Kutaman is going to address what the Eitzah is. Meaning? In a sense, that there is a time when not to follow your eyes, not to follow your heart, to put aside your own seichel. The eyes and heart represent the seichel. To put that aside and to follow Hashtu, to be mavatel one's das, tri tzadikim amitim. Baruch Hashem. Because he's walking around, he goes to work, he's doing, but he had to pull himself to do a mitzvah, he can't do it. And you ask him, are you depressed? His answer is no. The answer is it's not true. He doesn't understand that until the simcha is in, until it's bouncing around over there and his brain is jiggling, he has this olam acherus in his head, even if the simcha is throughout the rest of the body, it's not enough to pull himself to this Yishuv Hadas, to draw himself close to Hashem. It's only when he gets the simcha up, he brings it into his head, and it's there, this Olam HaChirus, that's when he can bring himself to this Yishuv Hadas and all of these other things. And this reminds us talks about Nekuti Halachas a lot. That's one item. Mm-hmm. And then there's a second step, which Ramos also says in Kudai Lachas on this Torah, the Vyadata Hayoi Vahashevoisel Avavecha. That the brain alone also isn't enough. You have a lot of people who are intellectuals, they're learning Gemara and this, that. The brain is there and the learning is there, and yet they're not Oithi Hashem. They can't bring themselves to a Hislavus in serving Hashem, davening well, doing mitzvahs well, where they'll get satisfaction out of it. Ramos also says why? Because by then it stops at the brain. They don't see to it to be mamshich, the brain into the heart. So in other words, it seems that this simcha, it has to be centered. There are two major centers in the body that must be filled up with simcha. One is the brain, one is the heart. The masaka simcha balibi, and this being the kasha, the maya, to the seha. Why? Again, the brain and the heart are chachma and bina. The brain and the heart are and bina. The brain is chachma, the heart is bina. If a person wants the meichen to be ketikuram, his head and heart have to have this simcha. What is a makif? The simcha salam al roshan. A crown is a makif. Simcha is a makif. One of the best etzes of being able to be zeichah the simcha is being sameach of the people.